And she's going to have that baby anytime. And Mindy, do you still have your cell phone on? Some of you have asked about her, and I appreciate your concern. And I can assure you I'm not going to be one of these silly old granddads like some of you. Although my grandchild will be much better looking and more intelligent than yours. And I brought some notes, so I want somebody back there by that by that panel box. It's good to see you. It's been a while, a couple years, and quite a few people in here that I haven't seen in years. I do mean years. The Poors back there and others that I haven't seen, and I mean 15 years or more. And it's good to see you. And for that reason, I'm thankful for this conference. It's good, isn't it? This is a foretaste of what we're going to do throughout eternity. Except somebody a whole lot better is going to do the preaching. Because a half has never been told. And it's finally going to get told. We had a dear old lady who the Lord revealed the gospel to when she was about 65 years old. And lived up into her 80s and got real feeble and had a heart attack. And they put her in the emergency room that night. We went to see her. And the children were concerned about her, that they were going to have to put her in a nursing home or something. And this woman, Virgie Jones, you remember Virgie? She probably came here. But anyway, they were concerned about that they were going to put her, had to put her in a nursing home. And we went to see her, and her only concern was, and I asked her how she was doing. She said, fine. But she said, I don't want to go to no nursing home. She had a Virginia accent. I said, how come? She said, I have to listen to all that bad preaching. The Lord took her the next day. The next person she heard preach was the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't have to listen to any bad preaching, including mine. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 4, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. I thank the Lord for that message, Brother Bruce. Dear faithful man, thank this church for all the work you've done to make this conference possible. And I'll go ahead and thank you ahead of time for the food and everything. Just thank you, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. In Luke's Gospel chapter 4, a very familiar passage of Scripture, one of the old wonderful passages talk about our Lord coming to his hometown. Verse 16, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue when a man reached Jewish manhood, 30 years old. He went to his hometown, and they had him stand up and read. And he stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is chapter 61 of Isaiah. And he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. He certainly didn't need any notes, did he? He didn't even need the book. He wrote it. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And I hope that's the case tonight. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." This day, that day, that time, when he had arrived, when he had finally arrived, the one whom scriptures wrote up in the volume of the book, when he finally had arrived, that day, this scripture and every other was fulfilled in their ears, and this day in ours. Isaiah did not speak of himself, did he? No, no, no. Nor did any true prophet say these things of himself. The Lord said in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." Now there's much said today in religion about this anointing, isn't there? You hear it all the time. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of John? John's Gospel, chapter 1. Much talk about the Holy Spirit today, and that's all it is talk. There's so many who claim to have this anointing, don't they? They love to use that, to throw that term around, you know, have Spirit-filled, anointed preaching. Well, I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's Word, they're all imposters. Anytime you hear that or read that, mark it down. They're imposters. No man could say that of himself. No man ever did say that of himself. Isaiah didn't say that of himself. There's only one man who could say that of himself. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Christ said. "He hath anointed me." What does the word Christ mean? The anointed one. It's only one. The anointed one. In John's Gospel, chapter 1. Now, this man had the Spirit from his mother's womb, didn't it? The Lord said that. John was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Well, what did he say about himself? Well, in verse 19, this is the record of John, preaching of John. The Jews sent some fellows saying, "Who are you?" And he confessed. Now, here's the first confession. Before he confessed who Christ was, he confessed what he was not. Now, here's a true preacher, isn't it? And he said in verse 20, he confessed and denied not. There's a lot of fellows who say, you know, that they're preaching Christ, but you wonder who's getting the glory, don't you? Well, you don't wonder. It's clearly seen to us. But John confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ. I am not the anointed one. I am not the one you look to." Go over to verse 32. It says, when John bare record, saying in verse 32, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him," the Lord Jesus Christ. "But I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he." That's he. Which the Holy Spirit, which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That's the Christ. That's the anointed one. So Christ stood up this day, Crib, and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I am the anointed one. The Spirit of God has anointed me." And here's the blessed message that he was anointed to preach. Look at verse 18 in our text. Go back to that. Luke 4. The Lord said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel." To preach. The Lord was a preacher. God had one son and he was a preacher. I have to remind myself of this all the time because it's still an honorable profession. Isn't it? Ambassador. It still is. Though there are many phonies out there and fakes, and I'm ashamed to be linked with these fellows. Yet it's still an honorable profession. God has not left himself without a true witness. They're a true preacher. And God had one son and he made him a preacher. sent him to preach. And this is the means which God has used. God is pleased by the foolishness of preaching. Not the preaching of foolishness. But he called it that because the world thinks it's foolishness. And it's going out of style today, isn't it? Well, the Son of God came here, and what did he do? He preached. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, is upon me, has sent me to preach. And it's not just preaching anything. A lot of fellas say they're preaching, don't they? Ain't much preaching to it. What kind of preaching does the Lord anoint? What kind of preaching does the Lord use? He said, he's anointed me to preach the gospel. The gospel. There's only one. The gospel. There's others out there, but they're not the gospel. It's another gospel. Perversion of the gospel. Best described, or clearly described, I think, over Romans 1, if you want to turn there. Romans chapter 1. Oh, I love this description of the gospel, don't you? Paul said he was separated, called to be an apostle, separated, verse 1, unto the gospel of God. This is where the gospel starts, doesn't it? It's where everything started. You want to start with this gospel message? You start with God. This is the good news. And say unto the heathen, thy God reigneth. The good news is God reigns. Especially good news in this seemingly chaotic world, isn't it?
Amen, brother.
Tell my people, the Lord reigneth. Satan is only called the god of this world, small g, because that's who the world worships. He's not running this world. God never relinquished that authority, that control, did he? Huh? God reigns in the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. He's God. Our God is God. That's the good news. That's where it starts. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. You ever get tired of hearing this proclamation? Behold thy God. This is the people's comfort. The church's shout of glory. Behold the preacher's message. Behold thy God. The gospel of God. The good news that God reigns. And we're in his hands. And this gospel is God's gospel. Verse 1 says the gospel of God, meaning it's God's gospel. He's the one who was the architect of it. He's the author of it. And the finisher, his brother Bruce, brilliant. This is a good message to go along with that. He's the finisher. He's the author of it. The finisher of it. God's gospel. It's something that he's most zealous of. Like that day you talked about. This gospel is something that God is zealous of. Jealous about. In fact, he was so zealous of this gospel, he was the first one to preach it. If you have a story you want to tell, you want somebody else telling it. You want to tell it yourself, don't you? But our Lord came in the garden when that first sinner sinned, didn't he? And he's the first one to tell about that woman's sin, pronounce that. And every other time, every other eventful time, like with Abraham, the Lord's the one who came down and spoke to him, didn't he? The Lord came to Noah in that beautiful description of his son, the ark. The Lord gave him those blueprints, no detail. This is God's gospel. Now, what do you think he thinks of people that perverted and people that his glorious gospel, his finished work, he's the architect of? What do you think he thinks of those that add to it or take away from it or think they can do something in addition to it? Nothing makes him more angry. That's right. It's God's gospel. And we have this precious trust, don't we? He's entrusted us with this gospel. And that's why Paul said, woe is unto me. I preach not the gospel. It's God's gospel. And this gospel in verse 2, he says, which is what he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Yes, the Old Testament saints heard the gospel. That's all they heard, was the gospel. Promised by God, foretold by God and his prophets. Moses wrote of me, Christ said. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. No more beautiful picture of the gospel or declaration of it than in Genesis 22, is there? Huh? That ram caught in the thicket. Isaiah's ram. His substitute. Christ sinner substitute in the stead of those that were bound and destined to die. God's gospel, which He promised before by His prophets. Verse 3, and here's the sum and substance of it. It's concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What's the gospel concerning? God's Son. Completely concerning Him. Of Him, to Him, through Him, by Him, about Him, for Him. And our Lord stands up and He says, in our text, He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Wouldn't you have loved to heard the Lord preach the gospel? Oh, there were a couple of fellows walking on the road to Emmaus that heard Him. And they got heartburn. The good kind. They didn't want Him to quit, did they? Well, who does He preach this gospel to? Who is this gospel for? Look at it. He says, He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The poor. He's not talking about the materially poor, but the spiritually poor. He said that, didn't he? Blessed are the poor in spirit, spiritual beggars. These poor materially you have with you always, the Lord said, but there aren't many poor spiritually, aren't they? They're hard to find, aren't they? The Lord has them out there. And I'm glad, aren't you? He has them out there, poor in spirit. And there's a few of them, like old Bartimaeus, huh? Old blind Bartimaeus, who sat by the wayside and said, I have no clothes. All I have is these rags. Would somebody clothe me? Who sat by the wayside and said, I can't see. Would somebody help me? Who sat by the wayside and said, I have no strength to get up and go anywhere. I can't even see who I'm supposed to go to. Would somebody help me? Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Here's the good news. Go tell that blind fella, come to me. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Yes, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. He goes on to say, the Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. Now, there are many people who are brokenhearted over many things. Losses. We had a funeral a couple of days ago, a dear member of our church, and he had 6 children whom he loved, and they loved him, but all of them were unconverted. And they were brokenhearted. And I wouldn't diminish from anybody's sorrow in the least. It's real. But that's not the broken heart the Lord is talking about here. The mourning the Lord is talking about here. After He said the poor in spirit, He talked about those that mourn over their sin. And the first thing the Lord does before He heals that heart is He breaks it. He breaks that heart over sin. We have a fellow in our congregation. I may have told you about him. He was a cowboy. I mean an honest goodness cowboy. A real rodeo cowboy, rode the rodeo circuit for 15 years. Hard life. And that turned him into a hard man. And all those old songs, you know, that, you know, George Strait and those fellas sing about the rodeos and leaving their wives and all that, he can't listen to them. Because that's just what he did. Broken marriages, abandoned children, hard-hearted fella, broken bones, busted up. Bless God. He sent him one day. Marvelous. Oh, I'd love to tell you the whole story. But sent him one day and sat him down to hear this gospel. And broke his heart. Broke that old hard heart and put in him a heart of flesh. Tender to the gospel. And to this day, he's been there 3 or 4 years, and I've yet to see him listen to a gospel message without tears running down his face. I mean it. Brokenhearted. And those tears aren't sorrow, though, now. They're just tears of joy. But the first thing he does is break your heart over sin. And the Lord said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've got good news for the brokenhearted over sin. I put them away. Put them away. And you know that old boy, when he first arrived, John, you saw him come. When he first arrived, he looked old, didn't he? I thought he was 10 years older than what he is. Now he looks 10 years younger. That's regeneration. I mean, that's literal regeneration. The dew of youth is on his brow. He's starting to look like Christ now. Hard man turned into an old softy. Oh, brokenhearted. Tell him I've come to preach the gospel and it sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Verse 18, to preach the deliverance to the captive. Deliverance. Well, there's another popular word in it. And religion today. We sung that song, Oh, How Merciful. And I was sitting there thinking about your pastor, his past, and some of you that were with him. And what great mercy that he didn't leave you in that mess. Brought you out of that mess that they called spirit-filled deliverance religion. Huh? That's the greatest mercy of all, isn't it? Spare you from that. Deliverance. I contend. You know, you hear that a lot, don't you, Brother Joe? Deliverance chapel. Deliverance victory. Deliverance this. Deliverance that. I contend they need deliverance from these deliverance places. Honestly. The Lord didn't save many Pharisees. But He does save some. Religion is the worst bondage of all. That's what old Peter said over there, didn't he? He said they promised them liberty when they're captives. They're captives. Bondage to sin, Satan and self. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can deliver. And He doth deliver. I mean, He really does deliver. He's called the deliverer, and that's what it means. Just like the finished work. Call His name Jesus, that's what it means. When we preach, we say what we mean, don't we? He's a deliverer. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The Lord delivers from captivity. You know, I'm a child of the 60s. And born in the 50s and grew up in the 60s and 70s. They were turbulent times, weren't they? Awful time. I didn't think, our parents didn't think it could get worse. But I grew up in that time, you know, of freedom. Remember how everybody prided themselves on how free they were? Oh, my. Free. Free. I'm a free man. When, in fact, we were totally captive. Held captive, Scripture says, by Satan at his will. That's what the Scripture said. And today it has gotten worse, hasn't it? Young people held captive. Your classmates and all that pride themselves in being free spirits and all that, these wear all the black and mutilated their bodies and marked them up indelibly for life. That's not freedom, that's captivity. That's bondage. There's only one that would deliver from that. I know. He delivered me. He wouldn't have had anything to do with me if you'd seen me years ago. I wouldn't have anything to do with that. Deliverance to the captives. My boy, if the Lord sends the word to tame those wild asses' colts, they'll be tamed. And only then. The Lord, and what the Lord did to that old colt says, loose him, bring him to me. There's not, the Lord leads captivity captive, you see. And none, old Brother Barnard used to say, there's none so free as the Lord's captives. Go and learn what that meant. Better yet, I hope he'll let you experience it. The Lord's captive. He said, the Lord said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. And this day, he said, I'm sent to give recovery of sight to the blind. Recovery of sight to the blind. I was talking about those young people. They're blind to themselves, aren't they? We used to think we looked good, didn't we? not only think we were free, blind to ourselves. And every man and young person blind to themselves, blind to what they are. I was blind as a prodigal son in the hog pen, eating the husk, thinking I was happy, blind to being in the pit. Blind to God. Blind to Christ. Didn't see my need of Christ. Did you, Cheryl? But God. Sent the gospel of Christ to you. Blind. Give the recovery of the sight to the blind. Recover sight. To open the eyes. See who God is. See what we are. See who Christ is. See our need of Him. Gospels for the poor, brokenhearted, captives, and the blind. Look at the next thing. He says, the Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me, hath sent me to set at liberty them that are bruised. We sing that song, bruised and mangled by the fall. Bruises. Thought about bruises. Bruises come from being beaten and battered. Okay. Being slapped around. Story of a lunatic in the scripture. That fellow's a lunatic. Moonstruck. Went crazy around midnight or whatever. Happens all the time to a lot of people like that. Lunatic. I was like that. The devil tore him and cast him down, bruised. And the Lord came, set him free. Delivered him. Liberty for the abused. Being beaten and slapped around like an abused wife. A lot of you were in religion. Abused by these fellas. They're not the Lord's men. And the Lord came through His mercy and His grace in the gospel and set you at liberty from being slapped around. I had a friend one time who he was married young, and I liked his wife. I was friends with his wife also. Big old fella. And I went to his house one night, and his wife had two black eyes. I had no idea this was going on. And I flew into him and gave him a little taste of his own medicine. That's the last physical confrontation I've had. Last time I saw him, too. What I'm trying to say is the Lord will not allow His bride to be beaten up for long. He comes to the rescue. I'm taking you out of this place. And now you've got a gentle husband. A sweet husband. Your maker is your husband. Doesn't rule with a rod of iron, but with love and grace and mercy. Set at liberty. Them are the bruised. Freedom. Look at the next thing. To preach, oh, I love this. This is really the heart and soul. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in you. The acceptable year of the Lord. The day, the year, the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is accepting people. You know, the gospel is 180 degrees different than what they say today, isn't it? Our church has a tombstone, a collective tombstone that we put in the graveyard. The Central Baptist Church on. We bought a bunch of lots to go around it. We're kind of being buried together. And on that tombstone is our epitaph, Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. A bunch of people had heard that the Scripture was fulfilled. Accepted in the Beloved. This is the day, this is the time, the Lord says, when He's accepting all applications for mercy. Year of Jubilee. Anybody in debt? The Lord's taking application. Taking application. What if they were taking application today to rid you of all your material debt? That's not our greatest need, is it? Talked about those fellas that came to David down in that cave at Adullam. Those who were in debt, in distress, discontented. And boy, what a motley crew. That's why they came to David. Yeah. What could he get from them? Nothing. That's why they came to David. And it says he became the captain over them. Wiped the slate clean right then and there. Nobody. David declared right then and there, nobody owes a dime. Yeah, he did. You got any debts? I've absolved you of all of them. You can't do that. Just did. Just did. The acceptable year of the Lord. When the slate is wiped clean. Anybody got a past they'd like to get rid of? This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Wipe it clean. Blot out all the handwriting of ordinances against you. Amen. Past, present, and future. Blot it out. You may have heard this before, but this is one of the best stories I've ever heard on this. True story. It happened to my father when he was a young man. He was about 20, 21 years old. Some kind of youth minister or song leader. And he had a carload of young people with him. He was driving about a 48 Packard, big tank, you know, weighed 6,000 or 7,000 pounds. And they were talking, as young people would do, you know, carrying on. And he was driving that car down the road and ran right through a stop sign and just plowed into another car. Totally demolished the other car. It's all his fault. Completely his fault. And thankfully nobody was seriously hurt. There were some people hurt, but nobody seriously. Well, naturally, he had to appear in court. He was guilty. He had to appear in court. And his dad went with him that day. And needless to say, my dad was scared to death. The law, that's what the law did to him. Guilt. He was guilty. He just knew the judge was going to come down hard on him. He was guilty. Negligence. Reckless driving. Total destruction. Well, he went to court and he sat there in the back row with his dad, and they heard case after case. Case after case came up. I remember Dad. And back then, there was some justice still being served. And Dad said that he was throwing the book at some of these people. And he said they heard case after case, and that courtroom started clearing out, case after case, until finally it was just him and his father sitting there, nobody else. And the judge was up there on the bench. And the judge has his head down looking at his books and looked up, and he said, "And what can I do for you all?" And Dad stood up. That's back when you didn't have a lawyer, didn't need one. He stood up and said, "Your Honor, I'm here my name is Henry Mahan. I'm here because of certain charges against me." Judge said, "What was your name again?" "Henry Mahan." He said, "There's nothing on this record. Go home." Clear. There's nothing on the record. The Lord said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Have you ever heard better news than that? Sinners. Oh, my. This day. Okay. May the Lord bring you to Himself.